This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala has given us the opportunity of coming for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. There is no doubt this is a great virtue, a great honor. There is a hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I was reading, that the Hajjis are the guest of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone in his own way will honor guest. But Allah ta'ala will honor the guest in accordance to his status. We always fear, and I think there is nothing wrong with that fear. In fact, it's a good fear to have, that are we worthy of coming here? What Allah ta'ala accept? And that is what Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمَعًا. That the believers, when they worship Allah Ta'ala, when they make dua with khawf and tama. Khawf means fear and expectation. And that's how we will approach this Hajj. We have expectation that Allah will forgive. And we also have fear that, Ya Allah, we mustn't do things that will lead to the non-acceptance of our Hajj. Firstly, the word Hajj means intention. The literal meaning of the word Hajj means intention. And in the Shari'i definition, intention to visit a specific place during a specific time and doing specific actions. So you can go to Mina and Arafat on any other day, as we went a few days ago in Ziyarat, it won't mean anything. It has to be on the 9th of Zulhijjah. And it has to be in Makkah, it has to be at the time of Zulhijjah. So coming to a specific place, doing specific actions, and at specific places. So that is basically a very short definition of Hajj. And Allah Ta'ala has kept many, many important benefits to Hajj. In the verse that I recited, and it was very interesting, you know, when we, in the last few days, to see the recitation of the Imams of the Haram. Very, very interesting. All of them concentrated on ayats pertaining to Hajj, pertaining to Makkah. And sometimes we had the Imam of Fajr and the Imam of Isha reading the same thing. So Sheikh Mahir has been reading from Surah Hajj, together with the confusion of the Sijdah Tilawat. And you found that even Salih bin Humaid has been reading those verses, the very same verses. So Allah Ta'ala in the fourth supara, which yesterday Maghrib time, I think the Imam read, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. To Allah, I just want you to just understand the translation of this verse, to understand the importance of Hajj. To Allah, وَلِلَّهِ, to Allah, people, عَلَى النَّاسِ, you owe it to Allah to make Hajj of the Baytullah, whoever has the means. You owe it to Allah to make Hajj if you have the means. Waman kafara, right? And then look at the warning. Whoever denies, whoever is ungrateful, then Allah is independent of the entire universe. You owe it to Allah to make Hajj. And if you don't make, Allah is not in need of your ibadat. Allah is independent. Just look at this one line in the Holy Quran which explains Hajj. You owe it to Allah to make Hajj of the Baytullah if we have the means. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, whoever disobeys and is ungrateful, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلِيٌّ. Allah is independent of the entire universe. Now Hajj has many benefits. I think in one of the clips I made mention of Hajj as a demonstration of love. And I just love this. That we're doing Hajj for the love of Almighty Allah. There is no doubt whatsoever, Hajj is an exposition and a demonstration and a manifestation of love. You leave everything for the sake of Allah, you leave your environment, it's not easy. Right? And you leave your normal comforts, you come to another place, you wear, when for example the 5 days on your ihram, you don't wear your normal clothes, it's difficult to wear those ihrams. And then you go through the various sacrifices out of love. Why have you come? You come to the house of Almighty Allah. I always tell people there are two different relationships that we have between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is a relationship which is a master-slave relationship, where Allah Ta'ala is the King of Kings and we are the lonely servants of Allah. This relationship is also a relationship that exists between the believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in Salat emphasizes this particular relationship. It radiates humility. You come in front of Allah Ta'ala like a slave, like a servant. You tie yourself in complete dignity. Nabi Karim Sa'asim said, don't even run when you come to the masjid. You are coming in the court of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come with dignity. Wear the best of clothes. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, says Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Wear your adornments when you come to the masjid. It was mentioned about Hazrat Hussein or Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, the grandsons of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they used to go to the masjid, they always used to adorn themselves and go. And someone asked, why you do so? He said, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Take your adornments to the masjid. And then you go down in ruku, you go down in sijda. That is now a sign of, you know, the master slave. We are the slaves. Allah Ta'ala is the master, the king of all things. There's another relationship, a relationship of love, which sometimes we haven't cultivated enough. We unfortunately today, when we talk of love, we only think of love in one sense. Only the sense between male and female, and that also in the romantic sense, and also sometimes in the wrong sense. That is what we regard as love. And that is why I always tell people, I think it was in 2013, they said that Rumi was the most widely read author in America. And one of the reasons that people were taken aback by his poetry on love. But he completely mistook what he had. Right? He spoke about love for Allah Ta'ala. He was immersed in the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people take his quotations and they use it in the wrong sense of love. Huh? Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The believers are intense in their love for Almighty Allah. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا. They love Allah intensely. There are four types of relationship that you can have with another being, another human being, whatever. One is رَغْبَت. It starts off with رَغْبَت. First, you are inclined towards someone. Then you desire someone. First there is inclination, then there is desire, then there is love. Right? So look at how Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran makes mention of all of these three stages of relationship towards Almighty Allah. So in the 10th surah of the Holy Quran, وَإِنَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ. To Allah must the believers be inclined towards. Then desire. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, again in the 17th surah, those whom we worship besides Allah, they can't create a fly. And we are so weak, if a fly takes something from us, we can't retrieve it. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْ. Very weak are those who desire anyone besides Allah. Here there is an indication of our relationship with Allah being on desire. Now we desire Allah Ta'ala. Desiring anyone besides Allah is a very weak type of desire, a weak type of relationship. And then of course, muhabbat, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. But I read one incident about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now these incidents come from what we call Israeli riwayats. We don't bring iman upon it in the sense that and we don't deny it. It could be true. And neither do we make it an article of faith. Someone says, I don't believe it. It sounds far-fetched. Well, don't believe it. It's not an article of faith. But it motivates us. It inspires us. So they said, the angels one day asked Allah,
that وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. You made Ibrahim your friend. Why did you make him your friend? So Allah Ta'ala told the angels, go and find out. Go and test why he's my friend. So they came down, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in charge of a whole flock of sheep. So one of them came past Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he read this dua that we read in the between the four rakats of Taraweeh. Subhana dhil malaki wal malakut. Subhana dhil izzati wal azmati wal aybati wal qudrati wal kibriyai wal jabarut. Such beautiful praises of Almighty Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam became so excited out of the love of Allah, hearing such beautiful praises of his beloved. He said, repeat those praises. So he said, what are you going to give me to repeat those praises? He said, take half of my sheep. So he read it, Subhana dil malaki wal malakut, Subhana dil izzati wal azmati wal haybati wal qudrati wal kibriyai wal jabarut. Now the love of Allah came even more intense in Ibrahim alayhi salam. Repeat those praises. And he said, what are you going to give me now? He said, take all my sheep. So he repeated it. And when he repeated it, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, say it one more time. He said, what are you going to give me now? He said, you have taken my sheep. Take me, I will look after the sheep for the rest of your life on your behalf. So the angel said, keep your sheep, keep yourself. We ask Allah why you are Khalil, why you are the beloved of Allah. Now we know. So this is a relationship and a journey of love. You know, part of love is you go around the house of your beloved. You're not only going around the house of your beloved, you seeking the beloved. Amurru ala diyari diyaru layla uqabbilu dhal jidari wa jal jidar. All our ulama, when they make the hajj, you know, programs, they make mention of this, because as Shaykh Hamdul Ali has made mention, I go around the house of my beloved, I kiss the Hajri Aswad, I kiss this, I kiss that, I touch this, I touch that, I make takbir. Why do I make all of that? Because it's the house of my beloved. It's not. I'm not only showing love to the structure. I'm showing love to the one that it represents. And everything is. That is why we shed our clothes. We wear the clothes that Allah loves. It comes in a hadith on the day of Arafah. Allah Ta'ala boasts in front of the angels. Unzuru ila zuwari bayti. O my angels, look at the people who have come to visit me. Ja'uni shu'than hubara. They come to me with hair disheveled, clothes unclean, by my honor. I will forgive all of them. So we don't even worry about our, we normally will wear the best of perfumes. Here you wear perfume, you give a sacrifice. You give them. Allah wants you to be like that. And that is the reason is that we forgot all other pretensions. We are here to love Allah Ta'ala. It's a journey of love. So that is one of the aspects with regard to, and I can go on to explain it. There are people, ulama have written some beautiful articles on this. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, the freedom fighter who fought against the British, has written about Hajj as a demonstration of love. Very, very interesting. Give me water. Then of course we have, you know, I just love to see this love as a means of submission to Allah Ta'ala. And I'll just give you an example. And I won't go too much into this, because we need to go ahead and we don't want to have a very long program. We want to give time for interaction. Hajj, more than any other ibadat, teaches us submission to Allah. Teaches us, you as a believer, you learn to submit to Allah. Sometimes you'll understand Allah's wisdom and command. Sometimes you say, I'm doing it because my Allah told me. And I tell many times people, why did Allah make this? I said, you know, I'll try to explain to you. Sometimes we'll understand, sometimes we'll understand, sometimes we'll say, but it is Allah's command. I give you an example. We eat with the right hand. Right? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do everything of barakah and blessing with the right hand. Now give me a scientific proof and evidence what benefit there is in the, to eat with the right hand. Logically, what benefit there is to eat with the right hand? You do it because my Nabi told me to eat with the right hand. Huh? So there are a lot of things we do, we submit. Allah told us this by way. And the other side, many times I go on radio stations and you know, they said, why is this? I said, it is my command of my Allah. It is a command. There are certain things we understand, certain things we submit. Now let me give you an example of submission. You would think, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah, the Quran says, Salat is on its prescribed time. Now you think, Ya Allah, surely the day which is the most virtuous day in the year, one of the most virtuous day, that day I must read my Salat on time. Other days, whether I read or not, if I don't read, it will be my weakness, but it's other days. I mean, the day of Arafah, I must read my namaz on time. That day if you read your namaz on time, you are committing a guna. That day if you read Maghrib on time, you are committing a sin. What does it tell you? My Allah told you to read namaz on time, read namaz on time. When Allah told you not to read namaz on time, you don't read namaz on time. When Nabi Karim SAW was in Arafah, he was, and the Sahaba, were, they didn't know. You see, that is why Nabi Karim SAW took a very lenient approach to Hajj. He used to tell them, see me performing the rites of Hajj, perhaps you will not get an opportunity to see me again. And so true it was. And many times Sahaba used to come, Ya Rasulullah, we did this. Ya Rasulullah, we did this. If al-wala haraj. If al-wala haraj. Do it, there's no problem. Do it, there's no problem. Very lenient with regard to masail of Hajj. So sometimes, you know, there are people who become very, very, you know, paranoid. My ustad is a Mufti Wali Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi. You know, he was a very, someone who was always, you know, inclined towards making things easy. So he used to tell us, he said, you know, many times people feel me, my hair fell off. What am I going to do? You know, while I'm ihram. He said, make wuzu, don't ever look at what hair fell out. Don't even look down, just wear it, go finish, don't even. If you didn't see it, there's no penalty. So there's ease in Hajj. While we need, I'm not in any way saying that we must forsake masail, but don't let that becomes, you know, you become so obsessed with details, you lose the bigger picture. The bigger picture is to come closer to Allah. So that must never happen. So this is submission. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya Rasulullah, Salat is in front today. Ulama say, even if you reach Muzdalifah in the time of Maghrib, you wait. You don't read Maghrib on time. You read Maghrib in the time of Isha. Submission. We all like, for example, let's look at this, right? I thought for this year's Hajj. I'll give you an example. Now you are reading, we are, inshallah, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the opportunity to make Hajj on Friday 70 times more rewarding. Right? Allah has chosen us to make this Hajj. May Allah accept. The ladies can hear him. Now, you think we in Arafat? Arafat is outside the boundary, or it's, you know, there is like part of it is here, part of all is it's read namaz in, make Jumma there in Haram is 100,000 times more Salat we read. But what is submission? No, we're going to be in Arafat. We're not going to go to Makkah and make Jumma. We're going to be in Arafat. We're going to make Zuhr namaz there. This is submission. So, you know, Hajj teaches us submission. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi is one of the greatest scholars in our history. And one of the reasons why he's, you know, he presented Islam in a very beautiful manner. So he said, he wrote one amazing thing. Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullahi in his treatise on Hajj has mentioned it. He says that someone can start thinking that Ibrahim alayhi salam threw the pebbles at Shaitan because Shaitan was in front of him. You don't see shaitan in front of you and you pelting. What are you pelting? Ibrahim alayhi salam saw shaitan. And he pelted because there was a visible object that he was pelting. You don't have a visible object that you are pelting. He said, if any time anyone has this thought when he is pelting, it's a thought put into him by shaitan to weaken his resolve to submit to Allah. I'm pelting because my Nabi told me to pelt, whether I see or don't see. Whether there is wisdom or not wisdom, my Nabi told me to pelt. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala came to the Hajr al-Aswad and he started weeping. Someone said, why are you weeping? He said, it's a place to weep. And then he addressed the Hajr al-Aswad and he said, I know you are a stone. You can't benefit and you can't harm me. I'm kissing you because my Nabi, I saw my Nabi kissing you. Are we pelting because our Nabi told us? There is wisdom. You are pelting to cast aside all other distractions from Sharia. But at the end of the day, we are doing it out of submission. Anyway, I wanted to just do my, in such a way that we do a little bit of motivation. Now that motivation is now. And inshallah, in the days coming, we'll speak about more. Sohail was telling me that inshallah, tomorrow, he wanted to spend some time on, also on logistics. How we're going to go with this and that. That we'll do tomorrow, inshallah. I also thought that maybe it's an idea. Many times people don't know about the Hajj of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, very briefly, I'm going to make mention of some aspects of the Hajj of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hajj was made for us in the 9th year after Hijri. The last of the pillars that was made for us was Hajj. The 9th year. So Nabi Karim sallallahu sent Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to be the leader of the Hajj. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala left, the ayat was revealed that from next year, no idol worshipper, a mushrik, will not be able to come to the haram. Will not be able to. Because up till then, they used to come and make the way they used to make the Hajj, because Hajj used to be even that time, but was a different way, not according to Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So then, Hazrat Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go to Abu Bakr and tell him that this particular announcement you will make in Mina, in front of all the tribes of the Arabs, because if it comes from someone from Bani Hashim, who are always the custodians of the Haram, it will be looked upon with greater weight. Now look at the love between the Sahaba. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala came, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked him and said, are you coming as the Amir? And did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to replace me as an Amir? And if so, you become the Amir. Right. Away from all these power struggles that are happening throughout the world in all fields today. Everywhere there's power struggles. Politicians, business people, even religious people also, unfortunately. Right. But be as it may, Abu Bakr, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you must remain the Amir. He only gave me the responsibility of making this announcement. So anyway, that was in the 9th year after Hijri. On the 10th year after Hijri, Nabi Karim sallallahu was commanded by Allah Ta'ala to make Hajj. There are many reasons. Hazrat Mu'abu al-Hasan Nabi rahmatullahi alayhi, whom I advise you to read his books. He has written with regard to why at that time Hajj became farz and what was the wisdom. By that time, you know, the Muslims were now a strong force. The whole Arabia was under Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to gather everyone, give them parting advices, meet people from far and wide. You know, the year that was, that particular year or the year preceding was known as إِذَا جَاءَ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You saw tribes and tribes coming into Islam. Now those tribes came into Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to meet them. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to give them advice. And this was going to be a Hajj that was going to become a means of guidance, how to perform Hajj till the end of time. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Medina on the 26th of Dhul-Qa'dah. And on the 26th of Dhul-Qa'dah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam left after Zuhr. He reached Zul-Hulayfa, Bir-e-Ali, Asr time. He spent the night there, he prepared himself. you know, preparing himself for the, in the next morning, he wore his araf, he wore his ihram. And in his ihram, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala put dharira. Dharira was a type of fragrance which used to be, could be seen on the beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he wore his ihram. So therefore, if you wear and you put on some fragrance before, and it remains and it lingers after the ihram, it doesn't, there's no jinayat, there is no penalty on it. Right? Perhaps just be careful with regard to being on the clothes, maybe we should be a little bit careful with regard to it, but if it lingers on, there isn't anything with regard to it. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now they were all together, 7 or 8 stops that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Right? So the first one was Dhul Hulayfa. That's where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained. The first night Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained. Now if you look at that, you know, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made Kiran Hajj. It means he remained in Ihram from the 26th of Dhul-Qa'dah right up till the after Arafat, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. So that shows us, we all know that we are weak, and may Allah Ta'ala, you know, make it easy for us. By the third day when we were in Ihram, we want to get out as soon as possible. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, read as much as that. There was an interesting incident that happened during the course of the journey. On one occasion, someone presented hunted meat to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meat that was hunted. And on one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had it, on the other one, he didn't have it. So the ulama say that the time when he had it, it was hunted by someone that was not in ihram. Right? So to have the meat that is cut by someone or hunted by someone that is not in ihram is permissible to consume. And the second time, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a doubt whether it was, you know, done by someone who was in ihram, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refrained from it. And he sounded a caution with regard to it. So that is, that actually happened during the course of that. The Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then also, the first place he stopped was in Rawha. That was the second night. So the first night was in Dhul Hulayfa. The second night Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped in Rawha. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that 70 Anbiya performed Salat in Rawha. And you got the Bire Roha, the well of Roha, which there's also indication towards it that a well of great amount of, cure, Bire Roha. I had the opportunity once going past there and drinking from the water from there. So Bire Roha, that's where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped. Then the third stop, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, was Ithaya, and the fourth stop was Al-Araj. Now let me tell you, there was a very, very interesting incident that happened, which should be a very great lesson for all of us. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the closest companion of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had made arrangements for the possessions, the luggage of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be in a separate camel. Wasn't only in the time of Hussam taking our luggage in a separate car or separate truck. Our groups, they're taking a separate luggage. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu made arrangement for the luggage to be in a separate camel. And he told someone, one of his slaves or servants, that he will look after this, his mind's and Nabi Karim Sallallahu's luggage. So during the course of the journey, that particular camel got lost, got waylaid. Again, sometimes your luggage gets lost when you're coming for Umrah. It happened to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His luggage got lost. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very angry with us. So angry. And one brother asked me, you know, Allah Ta'ala reward him for his concern, that I got angry when I was in Ihram. I said that nothing happened. Don't have to give no sadaqah, no. Just be careful, they don't get to happen again. So Abu Bakr got very angry. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, is not appropriate for someone in the haram to be so angry. Take it easy. And then he gave me one very beautiful advice. Why do you get angry over something that you don't have control over? luggage got lost, you don't have control over it. Why are you getting angry over something that you don't have any control over? So this was, you know, that happened during the course of, either between the third and the fourth stop. And then, very amazingly, there was a Sahabi by the name of Fudala Aslami. He came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, you lost your luggage. I bought certain things that in case that might be in that luggage, it might be of help to you." So he brought things. So we learned to help our fellow people who are in journey. Someone lost something, their luggage got sold, let's get together and help them. So Fudala radiallahu ta'ala brought some goods and said, "Ya Rasulullah, maybe something might be of, you know, value. I brought you something to eat, I bought you something, etc." So anyway, these were some of the incidents that happened. I will continue with it tomorrow. Maybe let me just one more beautiful incident relating to the wives of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were two incidents that happened with the wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All right, and one was Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. That's right. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha's camel broke down, right? So she started crying. Right, so now I always tell the husbands, you know, you must be sometimes sensitive to the woman. Now if they cry, now we will start saying, you know, people always crying, you know, people, instead of saying that, look at what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. He went into the tent of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. He wiped away her tears and said, "Don't worry, I will take care of your camel. I will make arrangements for your camel. I will make arrangements for another camel." Obviously she was worried. "I have a camel and if my camel break down, how am I going to go with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I don't want to miss this unique opportunity." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told her not to worry, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made other arrangements. Now, I'm not sure it happened in this journey or another journey. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala also had a backache, right? And she complained to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that "I got a backache." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam folded his shawl and told Hazrat Safiya, "When you get up on the camel, take the shawl and put it here at the small of your back. It will help you with regard to your backache." And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted her up on a camel. As I said, I'm not sure it was this aspect that the camel broke down and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made arrangement, was definitely in Hajjatul Wida. But the other one, I'm not sure it was in this or another occasion. Now if today, you know, a Muslim man have to do something like that, our people will say, "Bailoche." What? I mean, this is sunnah for our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to take care. And in this, there used to be a person by the name of Anjasha. You know, Anjasha was someone who used to be an expert in making the camels run very fast. And one of the ways that he used to do it was he used to sing poetry in a very distinctive manner, because of which the camels used to run faster. You know, and he had a very, very alluring and, you know, beautiful voice. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to take those camels and they started running fast, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Anjasha, Anjasha, take it easy, slowly. Rifqam bil qawarir." You are carrying and you are transporting, you know, those vessels which are very, very vulnerable, very sensitive and very valuable, referring to the woman, right? So take it easy. This you are transporting women who are very vulnerable, and they are very, also at the same time, they are very sensitive. You know, it could mean from both from a physical and a moral point of view. Physical point of view, don't go so fast. There are women, you know, they might fall down. From a moral point of view, you are singing so alluringly with such a beautiful tone. They mustn't start becoming, you know, because of your beautiful voice. So, rifqam bil qawarir, subhanallah, what a beautiful example. Go slowly, Anjasha. These are valuable, like a vase or something like that, that needs to be that needs to be looked after, subhanAllah. Anyway, these are some of the incidents that happened in Hajjatul Wida. I will try and finish up the other aspects, inshallah, tomorrow. We said we're half an hour, already half an hour is gone. So basically, another third part of our disturb, very briefly, just to speak about the first day. We're all aware that we are mostly in Tamattu Hajj. In Tamattu, we finished our Umrah. Right now we are living and staying together. So now we will make anyone who is in, as I made mention in the voice note that day, there are three situations, the Haram, then the Hill, and then outside the Miqat. The people who are in between, those who are in the Haram, for them, they have to wear the Ihram from here, in Makkah. Anywhere in the Haram, we have to wear our Ihram. So on the 8th of Zulhijjah, we will wear our Ihram. If someone can go to the Haram, you can go. It will be, of course, when you read and you make your Ihram and your niyat from the Kaaba and Baytullah, it will be good, but it's not necessary. Don't put yourself in difficulty to go and make your intention from there. It's permissible anywhere within the Haram. You make your Ihram from here, and you wear your Ihram and you make your intention. This time you will make intention for Hajj. The first time you made intention only for Umrah. So Ifrad will only make only intention for Hajj. Tamattu, we make Umrah and Hajj separately. Umrah we have made. And if a person is in a Qarin, the Qiran, he will make Hajj and Umrah with one intention. Tamattu we make on the 8th of Zulhijjah, we make our intention only for Hajj. And we will go to Mina. Mina on that particular day is to make zikr, tilawat, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spending, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 5 salats in Mina. So Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr of the 9th. And then we go to Arafah on the 9th. So that is on the night of Mina, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah wal Mursalat was revealed upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mina. And I will just maybe make mention of one point and then we will have an interactive discussion. You know, in Tafsir al-Mazhari, one of the great scholars, Qazi Thanaullah Panipati, has written that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi sallam saw a dream that he's sacrificing his son. He saw the dream on the night of the 8th of Zulhijjah. Right? And the 8th of Zulhijjah, he started reflecting. What is the meaning of this dream? What's the meaning of this dream? So the day of 8th of Zulhijjah is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of reflection. He saw the same dream on the night of the 9th of Zulhijjah, keeping in mind that in Islam the night precedes the day. So he saw the same dream on the 9th of Zulhijjah. And the 9th of Zulhijjah is known as Yawm Arafah. Arafah means, what's the meaning, what's the Arabic meaning of Arafah? Recognition. He recognized this is a command of Allah. Therefore is known as Arafah, the day we recognize Allah, the greatness and the mercy of Allah. And he saw the same dream on the night of the 10th of Zulhijjah, and he went out to carry out the sacrifice. Therefore the 10th of Zulhijjah is known as Yawmun Nahar, the day of sacrifice. So the day of 8th of Zulhijjah is a day of reflection. And maybe in our situation, it's also Mina on the 8th is a day of reflection. We are reflecting on the days to come, the most virtuous day, and the essence of Hajj, which is Arafah. We are now thinking about that day. We are also reflecting, Ya Allah, we have come here, now we are coming to Arafah. Are we worthy? You have brought us here. Ya Allah, do not turn away from us, accept our forgiveness, accept the tawbah that we will make. And inshallah, one of these days we will speak about dua and tawbah, what things to keep in mind when asking Allah Ta'ala and making dua and making tawbah. So these are the things that will suffice for us for now, and tomorrow inshallah we will continue from here. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. I hope I didn't take too long. But we can have now an interactive discussion and maybe have question and answers. Jazakallah.